Welcome into another episode of Negative Or Positive Vibes. C.J. Nikowski and Ryan Spielborgs with you as always. And we just got news on the Cy Young Award winners in both the American League and the National League. You and I were talking about it on radio during our show Loud Outs on MLB Network Radio and wondering where this thing was going to go. We'll start with and they were both somewhat obvious, but one that was clearly obvious and went exactly the way everybody thought it was going to go. And that is Tarek Skubal in the American League, Spilly. He did get 30 first place votes. It was a unanimous Cy Young Award for him. Really cool story for a former ninth round pick out of Seattle University. Wins the Triple Crown in pitching this year, and the tradition continues. You win the Triple Crown, you will win the Cy Young. Skubal, the latest to do it here for the Detroit Tigers.
I saw Skubal down the stretch, and his story is really cool. You know, when you mentioned the college he went to, that was the only place that actually recruited him. And I think when you have these stories of a player that blossoms late, you know, you kind of have these late bloomers. And in the case of Tarek Skubal, I feel like it's not like they enjoy the moment more, but there's something about acquiring talent later on in life where you're having to have technique first. You know what I'm saying? I've always joked with kids. I said, listen, talent can just beat technique almost all the time. Like early on, like you can just, I can dunk on you. Eventually, when technique starts to get really good, technique can trump talent. So I could have a bunch of, you know, fundamentally sound basketball players against a team that just has crazy talent, and I could beat you on technique. But what happens is when either talent acquires technique or technique finally gets the talent, they finally start to blossom, that's when you get this elevated version of a player that nobody can hang with. You know, talent can't beat it. Technique can't beat it because it has both. And what I saw this year with Tarek Skubal was all those aspects of what he had to grind through, you know, the attention to detail with his changeup, how he was able to, you know, command the strike zone. And eventually he had this velocity bump in the last couple of years and confidence that he was untouchable. CJ, he was untouchable. If you fouled a pitch off, I was like, oh, somebody fouled one off. Cool. I mean, he had the combination where, you know, it's basically a split finger, but it's not. It's his split change with a high ride fastball. So top of the strike zone with a nasty off speed pitch. And then, if he didn't want you to hit the baseball, CJ, you weren't going to touch it. You don't see big leaguers that can do that too often. And this year for Tarek Skubal, I mean, there's a reason why he was unanimous. There was no second guess. It was him. He was the best in baseball by far.
Yeah, he crushed it. That fastball sitting right around 97 miles an hour on average, meaning, of course, you see a couple of ticks higher as well. And then the changeup at 86. So you're looking at a 10, 11 mile an hour difference. And it's not just a straight change, as you mentioned. When you get that kind of depth and your fastball is living up in the strike zone, we are using these phrases now with pitchers that you figure out pretty quickly. Are you north to south or east to west? And there has been this east to west kind of run here lately with the sweeper, not a pitch that he throws, but because he relies so heavily on the four seam fastball and the changeup, there is a slider in there and a curveball. But you think about his top three pitches and it's both fastballs and then that changeup to go with it. Just absolutely filthy across the board. You got better than a 30% strikeout rate as a starter. You're crushing it. That is elite level. But then a walk rate under 5%, right? That's the other part of it, is that he takes this unbelievable arm with this great stuff, but combines it with his ability to stay in the zone. The one time I saw him live this year down in Atlanta, it was probably his worst start of the year. He only went four innings in that start. So I know, you know, it's the other ones you see him on TV, but the one chance that I actually got to see him in person, it was four innings, gave up a couple of home runs, which I think was just one of two games in which he gave up multiple home runs this year. It took him 83 pitches to get through that game. So I didn't get to see the best version of him live. That was a game the Braves ended up winning 7-0 with Ronaldo Lopez on the other side for the Atlanta Braves. But other than that, the other 30 were pretty spectacular. It was fun to watch, and it was cool to see. I think you get this kind of arm at the top of your rotation in a place like Detroit that was part of their story, right? We saw them sell at the deadline, but yet somehow they still got it turned around and made themselves a postseason team and had a really, really nice run. 18-4, 2.39, an all-star for the first time in his career. We saw it coming a little bit. The 15 starts in 2023 were really good. Even his 21 starts he had in 22 were really good. But the strikeouts went to another level over these last couple of years. And to be able to do it wire to wire for the first time, where he makes better than 29 starts, or I should say better than 30 starts in a season, he strikes out 228. Again, Triple Crown winner in the American League. And Tarek Skubal is now a Cy Young Award winner as well. Just capping off what is an incredible season. Real quick with him, he is a 4+ player. Oh, and by the way, today, November 20th, he wins the Cy Young. It's his birthday today as well.
Happy birthday.
No kidding. So he turns 28 years old today. What do the Tigers do here? A 4+ player, 2 years away from free agency. And what does he do, quite honestly? I mean, do you ride this thing out and pitch your age 28 and 29 seasons and to go into free agency and probably absolutely crush it, even with just two decent years? Or can the Tigers figure out a way to get this thing done now? I mean, you never want to sign a guy when he's coming off his best year.
No. Nope.
And this is his best year. But there's a lot of reasons to believe that this is real. Outside of the health part, which we always talk about with the pitchers, I have all the confidence in the world that this guy is going to continue to pitch at a really high level. How do you approach this from both sides? One, for Scott Harris and the Tigers, and then if you're Tarek Skubal and representing him the way Scott Boras is.
This is really difficult because a deal – because I would want a shorter term deal. I'd want to keep him for 4 years, guaranteed 4 years, four,
two
for
and
sure.
Two, like get these next two and then two.
Yeah. I want
well, gotta be six.
I'll max out your arbitration numbers. No problem. Let's assume you're whatever the max I can give you for the next two. Mm. And then I will pay you right now. Like you're the top, free agent pitcher in the world. I'll pay you better than Blake Snell. I'll give you more money than Blake Snell is going to make on an AAV for the next 4 years, but it's four. That's it.
Yeah.
The reason why I say that is because I think from a business standpoint, I want the max of your best. I want that sliver of your career when you are truly the best, and I'm willing to pay you for it. I'm willing to give you. You can be the top dollar pitcher in Major League Baseball because that's what you are right now. You're more the top dog than Blake Snell. You're more the top dog than Corbin Burns. You're more the top dog than anybody out there. I'll give that to you. But in return, I don't want 6 years. Nope. You can pitch top, and then after that, we can restructure. You can have an opt-out. You can be a free agent 5 years from now, and if you're still really good, you're still going to get paid. But there's no way I'm willing to pay a market value beyond four, especially since this is your biggest platform year.
Yeah.
So I'd sign you now, right now, but yeah. I'm doing it because I want that sliver of the best of your career.
Yeah. That would be position A. There's no way in heck that he goes for that. In my opinion, there's a famous line in Caddyshack. If you remember the movie where I couldn't believe it was 50 cents for a Coke and said, well, you ain't getting no Coke. And if you're only trying to go 4 years, with Skubal, you ain't getting no Tarek Skubal, I'll tell you that right now. All right, let's switch over to the National League. A great story here for the Atlanta Braves and personally for Chris Sale. Chris Sale wins it in the National League, and he wins it pretty easily. We talked about the 7 years in which he was a top six finisher but could not cross the finish line. And I went back and looked at all those. I'm like, oh, I wonder if he kind of got screwed 1 year. He really didn't. The voting probably fell in line each of those years. He just fell short so many times. And, of course, he goes through the injuries. And you're thinking, you know what? He missed his chance, unfortunately. At 35 years old, Chris Sale is acquired by the Atlanta Braves in a trade. A lot of people at the time wondering, man, Chris Sale, isn't he kind of done? Remember, he finished the season really strong. I talked about it at the time. The velocity looked good. The swing and miss looked good. He wasn't getting deep in games. And I really believe, at least for me, and I think a lot of people around here, for the expectations on Chris Sale were, can you come pitch in the middle of the rotation? You know, quite honestly, even a four. Based on what they thought they had in Max Fried, what they thought they had in Spencer Strider, Charlie Morton coming back, and the way things were lining up for the Atlanta Braves in their rotation, you wanted him to be a four, maybe a three at best, and give you five innings and let the offense get you a bunch of wins. It turned out to be so much better than that for Chris Sale. It was so fun. As you well know, you get around a good player, whether it's a position player or a pitcher, and get to watch him every day and do something at a really high level the way that I was fortunate enough to do that with Chris Sale. It was special. It was fun. He brought something also to the Braves. I think that they needed, right? That little bit of extra energy. He's a fighter. He loves to get in there. He loves going head to head with the best. And I told you this, my favorite thing I learned about him this season was the fact that not once in his career as a professional, not once in his career in college and even high school, that he ever shook off a catcher. And he didn't do it once, not all year. And so a lot of credit to Sean Murphy certainly to Travis d'Arnaud and even Chadwick Tromp, who has spent some time with the big club this year, putting down the right fingers and helping lead Chris Young to his first ever Cy Young Award at 35 years old.
Yeah, Chris Sale is pretty crazy. I mean, leader in wins. He was a leader in ERA. He was leader in strikeouts in only 177 innings pitched. I also, you know, we've kind of been teasing about how I thought you might have seen one Paul Skenes vote for number one, just because there's some donkey out there. There, he did get one vote, but it was for second place. And beyond that, I mean, going to your point about Chris Sale, I was shocked that he never had a Cy Young, and I'm with you. You go back and you look at some of the peak years, and the guys that beat him were just slightly, you know, they had the years of their life. You know, Gerrit Cole won his first Cy Young 2 years ago, and it was like, wait, what? And we'll, you know, Gerrit Cole will probably, when it's all said and done, is going to be a borderline Hall of Famer. Chris Sale, there's no question now with this little marker added to his career. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Especially given, you know, when he's pitched, he's been one of the highest strikeout rates in the history of baseball. But one thing that stood out, and I love this part because I think it's an argument that we've had before. He made 29 starts, and I've been an advocate for starters to be either part of a six-man rotation or get a little bit more rest. He kind of makes a point for me in that you have a player coming off of injury with age, and in his year 35 season had the best year of his career. And I think there are ways to do that where, you know, your top dog needs a little bit more rest. Now, do you want to do that with a full rotation? Probably not. Can you do this with a lot more teams based with the off days? Yes. And I know, you know, like you'll hear a guy like Paul Skenes wants to pitch every fifth day, could probably go on 4 days rest if he has to, because he's a horse, he's a doggy. But I think we saw two players this year specifically, in Skenes and Sale, where the 6 days of rest over the course of the year made them elite, like historically good.
Yeah. 5 days, six-man rotation, right? I mean, as far as the actual days rest in between, I got the numbers here for you. And the Braves were very careful with how they used him. Early on, him and Ronaldo Lopez, both. Ronaldo Lopez was coming out of the bullpen. It had been a couple of years since he had been in the rotation. And for, I'm going to say, call it the first two-thirds of the season, I don't think Lopez had any, and Sale might have had one or two. But they got to a point, Brian Snicker was very honest about it, now we got to push, right? Because the Braves had to work to get to the postseason. It took them 162 games, and they did. So it ended up being seven starts for Chris Sale on regular rest, but most of those came at the end of the year, when it mattered, to your point. When, you know, you can't do it all year long, but you'll take your chances so that you hope that you can have them late in the year. Unfortunately, Chris Sale was unable to pitch at the very end and couldn't pitch in that postseason series against the San Diego Padres, dealing with some back issues. But when he was on 7 days, or excuse me, regular rest, 4 days rest, he was 5-0 in those seven starts with a 1.58. But the timing that they used it was really good. 5 days rest, the extra day, there was 14 of those starts in there. He was really good all season long, and the numbers were solid. And then the days in which he had six or more days rest, eight of those starts, 5-0 with a 2.27 ERA. So that benefited him, no two ways about it, like you said. Really well. So that is a case for it. I think in that situation, the Braves took some chances. And I'm not going to say that they punted games because they never gave up on games, but there were times because of him and because of Ronaldo Lopez, and they were so committed to the plan that they would call somebody up. It'd be Bryce Elder sometimes, Alan Wine. It was a lot of different guys. And once they even did it in back-to-back days, where they brought up two guys so they could push everybody back 2 days. Because they also have dealt with injuries come postseason time. It's happened pretty consistently, unfortunately, for them with starting pitching, thinking about Max Fried and Spencer Strider over these last couple of years, and then it was Chris Sale this year. But they stuck to the plan, very religious about it. And until Spencer Schwellenbach got there, what was happening in the fifth spot collectively, unfortunately, was pretty disastrous. At one point, they were like 1-9 and 16 starts with an ERA near six. Like, they just didn't have that issue solved, but they were willing to take those chances for this reason exactly, that they got a full season out of Chris Sale, and it ends up with some really nice hardware for him.
Yeah, I think there are ways. I mean, you hear about a paradigm shift in philosophies with starters and starting opportunities, how many games you pitch over the course of the year, and innings pitch. We've seen, you know, we only had four starters over 200 innings pitch. That's it. Four starters in Major League Baseball over 200 innings pitch. I believe organizations have, because of technology and what we're seeing with output, I am willing to bet that next year we might have only one 200 inning pitcher. And that's probably going to just be Logan Webb, only because he's the only one that can do it with consistency because he has this sinker. Yeah. Seth Lugo is one of the guys. I think Lugo's getting older. The other one was Logan Gilbert, who actually got a Cy Young vote. And
second place vote.
And then there was Zach Wheeler. And I think Zach Wheeler, this is probably the last year Zach Wheeler is going to get over 200 innings pitch because he dealt with some back issues. So I feel strongly that this could be, CJ, this could be the last year we have had multiple 200 inning starters in baseball. I want you to think about that.
Do you think Major League Baseball would consider 27-man roster, meaning you can only add one more pitcher, with the idea that more teams would try to take it, and maybe you limit how many relievers? You can have 27 if you have X amount of relievers, with the idea of trying to have more of these, you know, what the six-man looks like at the back end sometimes might be a 4 or 5 inning pitcher, which isn't great for offense because the pitching is better. And I know that's always an issue, and it should be for Major League Baseball as batting averages continue to come down. Well, we also struggle with the health of our pitchers, which matters. As good as they are, we'd like them to be out there a little bit more. And I'm wondering if there's some kind of push and pull to make that happen and to make what we're talking about here, which is six-man rotation, guys not going deep in games, a little bit more possible. Unless you say, hey, if you're going with a six-man rotation, then we're going to push you. You need to be going 7 innings. That's the other way I guess you can kind of look at it. But I just wonder if Major League Baseball, there's, you know, and they're constantly trying to adjust accordingly. How we get there, I think, is going to be a challenge. But rosters may have something to do with it. We've already expanded to 26. And so off we go. But who knows? Maybe something with the rosters is a way that they can help it out. But it's certainly worked out for both Lopez and Chris Sale. Chris Sale, though, is your National League Cy Young Award winner for the first time in his career. He does it at the age of 35. On the American League side, Tarek Skubal, on his 28th birthday, gets the news that he is a Cy Young Award winner. And what a birthday it was. Certainly one he will never, ever forget. We appreciate you listening to the podcast. This has been Negative War, Positive Vibes. Have a great day.